Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Adrian Krieg will join me in approximately 1 hour from now to talk about some of the basic issues of the day. All kinds of things to take a look at this morning, including something in the New York Times indicating that there's a certain legal case that's touching a Second Amendment nerve. Ted Pike indicates that the ADL's war games have begun with Ann Coulter. The New York Times has had a couple of other interesting stories in the last couple of days on events and circumstances surrounding Israel and Jews. Israeli police raid offices for evidence on Olmert, that is the Prime Minister of Israel, Olmert, and the evidence that they're looking for involves criminal activities. Also, the New York Times is reporting a spy's path, Iowa to A-bomb to Kremlin honor. What Ashkenazic Jew wound his way from Russia to Iowa? It was later involved in infiltrating the Manhattan Project. That's something that the New York Times gets into as of yesterday. U.S. military weaknesses. Top Pentagon brass reluctant to wage war in Iran. Why? Clearly because of overextension and because of blowback. And finally, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency is reporting that the push for Iran's sanctions faces obstacles. What kind of obstacles? JTA, of course, is the UPIAP of Judaism. And they report the obstacles as following. Ron Campias, the JTA reporter, says that a renewed push from Jewish organizations for tougher sanctions against Iran is facing tough obstacles in Washington and capitals throughout the world. American Jewish groups, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, are aggressively attempting to rally support for isolating Iran until it ends its suspected nuclear weapons program. They are lobbying Congress, reaching out to friendly nations overseas and seeking allies in the United States. Malcolm Henlein, the executive vice chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, is warning that Iran is close to acquiring the knowledge it needs to build nuclear weapons. Officials at the Anti-Defamation League, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, have launched a campaign in support of tougher sanctions and recently pressed the issue in a meeting in Moscow with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Also, the American Jewish Committee has been meeting with foreign leaders, including French President Nicolas Sarkozy. In the latest manifestation of the renewed push, delegates to the General Assembly of the United Jewish Communities in Nashville are expected to be asked Monday to vote on a resolution calling on federations and Jewish community relations councils to move on the Iran issue by initiating, coordinating, and funding, quote, expanded efforts aimed at both educating and mobilizing the Jewish community, as well as partnering with other respected members in the broader community, unquote. The resolution calls on federations to reach out to, quote, elected officials, civic and religious groups, labor unions, think tanks, academics and student groups, human rights organizations, and business associations, unquote. This new push comes as Israeli and Jewish organizational leaders say that stopping Iran's nuclear program is a life and death issue that must be addressed now, quote, there is a civilian program, a secret weapons program, and Iran is expanding its ballistic missile power, unquote, Israeli Transportation Minister Shaul Mofaz told reporters here on November the 8th. Mofaz, who was serving as Jerusalem's lead negotiator in the U.S.-Israel strategic dialogue, said the need to isolate Iran had increased urgency. He pointed to Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's announcement that his country is now operating 3,000 centrifuges, the number required to enrich bomb-grade uranium. The Israeli minister wants the U.N. Security Council to issue a third set of sanctions targeting Iran, ones that would effectively cripple the Iranian economy. Two earlier sets targeting individuals and some companies have not yet had an appreciable impact. Mofaz emerged from his meeting in Washington with a U.S. pledge to set up two task forces, one to promote Iran sanctions and the other to share intelligence on Iran. Bottom line, the Jewish Telegraphic Agency is saying what we've been saying here all along at RBN and at Mark Dankos America. Israel is behind the push for war with Iran. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Adrian Krieg will join me in approximately 1 hour from now to talk about some of the issues of the day. And as we look at those issues, obviously the key issue of the day continues to be this whole question of the Middle East generally, and Israel specifically, in regard to the fact that the latter is pushing the United States toward a wider war with Iran. The implications of this should be abundantly clear to everyone who's been following this issue, especially in the last 4 years. It's only become more obvious in recent times that Israel is having a great deal of difficulty covering its tracks in regard to the information which proves that they are the ones really pushing the buttons in this situation. The Jewish Telegraphic Agency post of Ron Campias really proves it, and that is that the Jewish community in the United States and worldwide is leading the fight for sanctions on Iran, and quite clearly is leading the fight for a much wider and much more aggressive American military and political and diplomatic stance against that country. Continues to beg the question, however, as to why Israel's nuclear program, which is the most prodigious in that region, is one that is not under American insistence for larger IAEA and United Nations weapons inspections. The reasons for that, of course, should be abundantly clear. And, of course, last night I was refreshing my memory a little bit on what Michael Collins Piper has said about the Kennedy assassination and Final Judgment. What was the role of the government of Israel in that killing of JFK on November the 22nd, 44 years ago? If you read Final Judgment and look at all of the empirical information and the analysis that Michael Collins Piper brings forth in that volume, it suggests that what began in 1963 continues to unfold in regard to the absolute stranglehold that Israel has on both the foreign and domestic policy of the United States. Don't believe that? Take a look at Final Judgment. Take a look at what the Jewish Telegraphic Agency says in its own news reports day after day, week after week, month after month. Take a look at the money trails in this presidential election, as we trace the money and the associations from the Federal Election Commission lists to your own email inboxes. It becomes abundantly clear, isn't it, that there is a very, very serious problem here. Ron Paul is obviously the one candidate running who's making a real dent in internet fundraising, who is not a part of this whole Israeli network, which means that we need to continue supporting him to the extent that we can, so that we have at least somebody representing us in one of the two major parties in these early presidential primaries. Back to this Jewish Telegraphic Agency post of Ron Campias from a day or two ago. Mofaz, as we were discussing, emerged from his meeting in Washington with the U.S. pledge to set up two task forces, one to promote Iran's sanctions and the other to share intelligence on Iran. Efforts by American Jewish groups would get a boost from legislation passed this year in the U.S. House of Representatives and under consideration in the Senate. The bills initiated by U.S. Representative Barney Frank, Democrat, Massachusetts, and U.S. Senator Barack Obama, Democrat, Illinois, would assist civil society groups seeking to divest from Iran by publicizing companies with investments in Iran and providing tort protections from investors. Another measure approved by the House and awaiting action in the Senate essentially would criminalize dealings with any individual or entity that deals with Iran's energy sector. Such a measure, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, would severely restrict Iranian business in a world financial system that at some point runs the bulk of its transactions through U.S. financial institutions. The push for additional U.S. and U.N. sanctions are facing tough obstacles. In Washington, the Bush administration opposes the bills making their way through Congress, in large part because the White House opposes any infringement on its powers. In Europe and elsewhere, influential countries deeply involved in Iran's consumer markets, including Germany, Italy, Russia, and China, want time to disentangle thousands of businesses that trade with the Islamic Republic before plunging into sanctions. Jewish organizational leaders, according to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, met not long ago with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, but failed to persuade her to pressure businesses in her country to pull out of Iran. German officials believe that divesting from Iran will take years. In addition to questions over how rapidly sanctions could be adopted and implemented, says the JTA, several prominent lawmakers and world leaders are stepping up calls for a different approach: comprehensive negotiations between Iran and the United States on a range of issues. Among those calling for an immediate diplomatic push are Obama, a Democratic presidential candidate, and Senator Chuck Hale, Republican, Nebraska, as well as Merkel. Israeli officials and some American Jewish organizational leaders say the Iranians would simply use negotiations as a tactic for buying time, and with Iran close to obtaining the know-how needed to build a nuclear weapon, such delays cannot be tolerated. According to this view, only a significantly tougher set of American and international sanctions will convince Iran to abandon its nuclear ambitions. Henlein said that as soon as Iran develops a nuclear capacity, even if it does not immediately manufacture a bomb, the Middle East configuration changes. Quote, "Once you have the technical obstacles overcome," he said, "the intimidation is already there," unquote. and Iran's backing of terrorists in the region will increase. Interesting story, Mr. Henlein, because nobody's saying anything once again about the fact that Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, but Israel is not. No one is saying anything about Israel's nuclear program or how they obtained it. No one is making the connection that Michael Collins Piper has made with very, very convincing information that David Ben-Gurion and the Israeli Mossad had something to do with the death of President John F. Kennedy because of the latter's insistence that Israel's nuclear program should be under both American and international inspection. No one, of course, is saying anything about the fact that Israel has not abided by any of the agreements that pertain to Palestine up to and including the Oslo Accord in 1993. No one is saying anything at all about the fact that Israel has been abundantly involved in a series of things going on in Iran that have already involved violations of international law as it relates to Iranian borders and to Iranian sovereignty. Take a look at what Philip Giraldi has been saying in Pat Buchanan's American Conservative. What is Israel doing? What is the United States doing? What is the British MI6 doing in regard to operations presently taking place in Azerbaijan and Khuzestan province and Balochistan province? And this also gets into the whole issue of Pakistan. The whole issue of Iran may become a moot one when it comes to nuclear capability if, in fact, we have a situation where a so-called radical Islamist regime comes to power in Pakistan. If it does, it will mean that the elements that Israel is most concerned about will have a nuclear capability right next door to Iran, a nuclear capability, of course, that many believe has already been shared with the Iranians through A.Q. Khan, who is the father of the Pakistani nuclear program. But the point is that if Israel is focused on Iran and if the United States is focused on Iran, what is going to happen if in Pakistan we see a situation where events there careen out of control as a result of American backing politically for an individual, speaking of General Musharraf, who quite clearly fits a pattern in regard to leaders that the United States has supported both in the Middle East as well as worldwide under circumstances where political blowback continues to operate in a fashion which causes further indigenous problems for the United States in the region, at the same time that the wider issue of American credibility globally in regard to supporting these kinds of policies continues unabated. And again, when it comes to the whole question of Israel, we need not look any farther than the campaigns of Clinton and Obama on the one hand, Mr. Giuliani and Mr. Romney and Mr. McCain on the other, to discover that they believe they have an absolute lock in both the Republican and Democratic nomination processes, and that come the fall of 2008, the Israeli lobby is quite likely to have both its Hanukkah and its Christmas wish list in regard to having candidates who will do their bidding. Let's hope that we can throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into that process by supporting Ron Paul and continuing to support him in regard to what he's trying to do in the early Republican primaries and caucuses. We'll keep an eye on that in the days ahead. As far as things Israel are concerned, Ted Pike has some interesting commentary this morning entitled "The ADL's War Games with Ann Coulter." Ted says that after polling 2,000 Americans, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith claims 27% of Americans hold the quote-unquote anti-Semitic belief that Jews were responsible for Christ's death. I, of course, happen to be in that 27% because that's exactly what the Gospels teach. That's exactly what the Book of Acts teaches. The entire New Testament corpus quite clearly draws a direct linear line between a Pharisaic Judaism and the death of Jesus Christ. So if there are, in fact, 27% of Americans who hold this belief, they, in fact, are clinging to the teaching of both John and the Synoptic Gospels and the entire New Testament corpus. This implies, says Ted Pike, that the New Testament, which repeatedly makes this charge, is also anti-Semitic, i.e. hate literature. For the Anti-Defamation League's Abe Foxman, says Ted Pike, even Ann Coulter's innocent statement that Jews are incomplete without Christ is shockingly insensitive, quote-unquote. The Anti-Defamation League says Coulter has proven her anti-Semitic, bigoted, and hateful views. Actually, by charging Ann Coulter with hate for simply stating the gospel, the The Anti-Defamation League, says Ted Pike, is reviling the one who authorized Coulter to make that claim. Jesus Christ. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Adrian Krieg will join me in approximately, about 37 minutes from now to talk about some of the key issues of the day. Dr. Krieg has sent me a couple of his latest essays, by the way. He has one on the 12 myths of the 21st century war. And then, of course, he has a very, very interesting letter which goes back to January of 2006 in regard to this whole question of who and what it is that supports Israeli policy in the Middle East. We're going to be talking about central banking with Dr. Krieg this morning and bringing into play some of the things that have been appearing in recent times in regard to credit card debt and this whole business of the subprime mortgage crisis and the rather disturbing earthquake that has been sent throughout the international central banking system and in the major brokerage houses in the wake of some of these policies. You know, I don't think you have to be an economist, and I'm certainly not one, to see that there is a relationship between collateralized debt obligations and the mortgage subprime mortgage crisis on the one hand, and the incredible instability that has been caused in the central banking communities internationally, as well as in among many of the major brokerage firms. And when you see Citigroup and Merrill Lynch changing horses in regard to CEOs, and you see the write-downs that have occurred with Merrill Lynch and Citigroup and Wachovia and Bear Stearns and so forth and so on, it certainly appears that the entire financial system is teetering on the edge of just unbelievable catastrophe. And as you watch the Fed in regard to this whole situation, there is clearly a cash credit crunch transpiring with many of our major banks. And yet if the Fed lowers the discount rate, which is on the one hand what they're being urged to do to provide a cheaper, easier cash infusion flow into the mainstream of the banks in this country and internationally that the Fed is interested in propping up, the other side of that equation is that it will make bonds less valuable. Bonds that are being held by Asian banks, especially, and especially communist Chinese banks, that have been propping up the American dollar in the wake of our own incredible spending policies and debt policies, especially as it relates to this war in the Middle East. If that occurs, then we have a whole other set of problems for both the United States dollar and the international banking community. The fact of the matter is that when you look at the rise of gold, the incredible fall of the dollar, the rise of oil, and all of these other things that are transpiring presently, when you look at these major market indices, it becomes abundantly clear that something is wrong. How are they going to get us out of it? How did they do it in the 1930s? That seems to me to be the question of the day. As we await the latest false flag incident that is going to expand this conflict in the Middle East. You know, getting back before I look at Eric Margolis's commentary on the fact that according to his writing in the Toronto Sun on November the 4th, it's time to hear an apology for the great terror in the Soviet Union. We won't hear that apology, of course, because of the fact that Talmudic Judaism was inextricably linked to the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in the first part of the 20th century. And because of that, we're not likely to hear any acknowledgement of this whole issue that Eric Margolis is talking about today at the Toronto Sun. But getting back for a moment to the No More Wars for Israel conference that was held in Los Angeles last month, this continues to be the key issue of the day for me. We are moving toward a third world war. It is important to understand why. It is important to understand how it's going to happen. It's important to see that in terms of national interest, true national interest, the government of the United States is being manipulated and controlled. The people of the United States are being manipulated and controlled. We need to step back and take a real hard look at this thing before disaster transpires. And disaster is just around the corner. Some would argue that it cannot be stopped. Paul Craig Roberts seems to believe that it is inevitable that this whole thing is going to happen and that there's very little, if anything, that can be done to stop it because all of the cards are being held by the other side. Folks, the time has come, it seems, to be more directly involved in supporting the things that we really believe in and should understand are the only options we have left politically in regard to stopping this great juggernaut toward war and toward a new world order. The Ron Paul candidacy is one. Supporting the American Free Press is another. Supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network is yet a third. Dealing now, of course, with Eric Margolis in his commentary at the Toronto Sun, he observes that this seems to be historic guilt month. Germany just opened a new memorial to Jewish victims of Nazi persecution. Armenians demand Turkey admit Ottoman-era massacres were genocide. Japan is being blasted anew for denying wartime atrocities. Yet the greatest crime in modern history, says Margolis, and bloodiest genocide have almost vanished from our collective memory. Last week marked the 70th anniversary of the Great Terror in the Soviet Union, in which tens of millions were murdered or imprisoned. Why is this being ignored? Why is it vanishing? We'll examine that when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Adrian Krieg will join me in about half an hour from now to cover some of the basic issues of the day. Between now and then, we're going to take a look at the remainder of Eric Margolis' story in the Toronto Sun entitled Time to Hear an Apology for the Great Terror in the Soviet Union. And then we hopefully will have some time to cover, at least in part, this New York Times story of yesterday in regard to another Jewish spy, one we haven't heard about up to this point, someone who made his way from Russia to Iowa and from Iowa into infiltration of the Manhattan Project during World War II. Jewish roots are very clearly examined in the New York Times, and he seems to be a great precursor to Jonathan Pollard in the late 1980s. Maybe there's a connection or a lesson that needs to be learned there. Eric Margolis then gets back into this whole issue of the fact that the Great Terror in the Soviet Union, which last week was marked by its 70th anniversary, underscoring that tens of millions of people were murdered or imprisoned. This whole crime, the greatest in modern history, the bloodiest genocide, using Margolis' words here, has almost vanished from our collective memory. Russia's president, Margolis says, Vladimir Putin, at least commemorated for the first time what he termed colossal Soviet crimes by attending a memorial this week for its victims. It was interesting, says Margolis, watching Putin, former head of the FSB security service, denouncing crimes of its direct predecessors, the KGB and the NKVD. The same Putin who recently called the Soviet Union's collapse a tragedy. Still, we applaud his long overdue recognition of communist era crimes. The Soviet terror, says Margolis, began in the 1920s when Lenin ordered the extermination of Cossacks and opponents of the Bolsheviks. Next came Catholics of White Russia and resistors to communism in the Baltic states and Moldova. Stalin then ordered liquidation of 2 million small farmers known as kulaks. In 1932 and 33, Joseph Stalin unleashed genocide against Ukraine's independent-minded farmers. 6 to 7 million Ukrainians were shot or purposely starved to death. The man who directed this genocide, Lazar Kaganovich, was made hero of the Soviet Union and died in Moscow in 1991. When Communist Party bureaucrats delayed Stalin's plans to transform the Soviet Union from a backward rural society into a modern industrial powerhouse, Koba, as he was called, at NKVD shoot 700,000 party members. Thereafter, his orders were promptly obeyed. Almost all the party and military hierarchy were executed during the Great Purges of 1937 and 8, which culminated in the Moscow show trials. From 1934 to 1941 alone, some 7 million victims were sent to the system of concentration camps known as the Gulag, including 1 million Poles, hundreds of thousands of Lithuanians, Latvians, and Estonians, and half the entire Chechen and Ingush people. Volga Germans, Crimean Tatars, Bashkirs, and Kalmyks followed. Stalin's Gulag did not need gas chambers. Cold, disease, and overwork killed 30% of inmates yearly. To this day, says Eric Margolis, Russian and foreign historians are unsure of the full number of Lenin and Stalin's victims. Estimates range from 20 to 40 million total deaths from 1922 to 1953. Stalin committed his worst crimes well before Hitler's major atrocities got underway. We have forgotten, says Margolis, that Germany alone did not spark the Second World War. Germany and the USSR jointly invaded Poland in 1939. Stalin then attacked Finland. 2 years later, Britain and the USSR invaded neutral Iran. History indeed remains the propaganda of the victors. If we keep hectoring Germany and Japan to admit guilt for events of the 1940s, says Margolis, is it not time the United States, Britain, and Canada admit their own culpability in allying themselves to Stalin, a monster who killed over four times the number of Hitler's victims? After all, Stalin's concentration camps, says Eric Margolis, were up and running a decade ahead of Germany's. The murder of millions of Ukrainians and Balts took place before the world's gaze, 6 or 7 years before the Second World War. The foolish Roosevelt, who hailed Stalin as Uncle Joe, and the cannier Winston Churchill both knew they were allied to the biggest mass murderer since Genghis Khan. They used a larger devil to fight a smaller, less dangerous one, then paid his price by handing over half of Europe to Moscow. Remember this when today's warmongers wax poetic about the glories of World War II and call for World War III. Western powers should practice what they piously preached to Germany, Japan, and lately Turkey by at least apologizing for their sordid deal with Stalin, which was every bit as immoral as if they had made a deal with Hitler, as Stalin long feared they would, to destroy the Soviet Union. This is an absolutely important essay, essential essay by Eric Margolis, to be found at the Toronto Sun, dated Sunday, November 4th, and it's entitled Bear the Guilt. Time to hear an apology for the Great Terror in the Soviet Union. Again, think about this just for a minute here, folks. We're talking between 1922 and 1953, about somewhere between 20 and 40 million total deaths. Between 20 and 40 million from 1922 to 1953. And as we look at those numbers, Margolis says that we should remember all kinds of things when today's warmongers wax poetic about the glories of World War II and call for World War III. Who are these warmongers that he speaks of euphemistically? Who are the people behind this push toward a wider war in the Middle East? The Jewish Telegraphic Agency tells us who they are. It's the Jews. It's the Zionists, quite clearly so. Whether you're looking at what Israel is saying or looking at the disproportionate amount of Jewish financial interest involved in this situation, or the Jewish advisors to people like Clinton and Giuliani and McCain and Romney and Barack Obama and John Edwards, look at the amount of AIPAC money that is making its way into these American elections once again. Look at the Jewish control of the American news media. Do we really have to look very far at all to figure out what's happened here? And isn't it fascinating that the same people that want us to wage a Judeo-Christian jihad against Iran in the Middle East are the same people who wax very silent when it comes to the 20 to 40 million deaths that transpired in the Soviet Union between 1922 and 1941. Why is there no Holocaust museum that commemorates these victims in Washington, D.C.? Why are we not being reminded of this disgusting, sordid alliance between Roosevelt and Churchill on the one hand and Stalin on the other? Who was behind that alliance and behind the silence that pertains to that alliance now? The words of Charles Lindbergh in Des Moines, Iowa, before the outbreak of World War II for the United States, put the finger on the issue at the time. Put the finger on the issue at the time. That's exactly what we're trying to do now as we approach a full-blown explosion in the Middle East that will produce a third world war. You can argue that we're already in it, and I think that we are. But the fact of the matter is that all of the tragedies of the last 4.5 years pale in comparison to what I think is just around the corner. Let's keep an eye on it, folks. This, in fact, is the issue. Here's another important piece from the New York Times. This is a New York Times article on an American Jewish Soviet spy in World War II from the state of Iowa, which is where my parents are from, by the way. The title of this New York Times essay is entitled A Spy's Path, Iowa to A-Bomb to Kremlin Honor. There's a picture of Vladimir Putin of Russia, by the way, and some intelligence officers of his at a ceremony posthumously honoring George Koval, pictured at left, George Koval, K-O-V-A-L, an American-born Soviet spy who infiltrated the Manhattan Project. If you've never heard of George Koval before, it's because the same people who have been involved in a conspiracy of silence on that are the same people who are involved in the conspiracy of silence, as Eric Margolis chronicles the whole thing this morning at the Toronto Sun, in regard to the 20 to 40 million deaths in the Soviet Union between 1922 and 1941, and who was behind it. If we're hearing a lot of silence today about Jonathan Pollard, except for cries to release him, the same folks are involved in that as well. And what about this current American-Israel Public Affairs Committee spy scandal? Stealing American intelligence secrets and passing them along to Israel as it pertains to things Iranian. Rosen and Weissman are in the process, supposedly, of being tried for their crimes of espionage against the people and the government of the United States. Where is the media coverage of that trial? And what media manipulations and governmental manipulations and legal manipulations are going on to get Rosen and Weissman off the hook? Justin Raimondo has been covering that recently at antiwar.com, just about the only person I'm aware of who has been covering it. Why, again, the collective silence in 99% of the American media about this? You draw the conclusions, folks. Do we have a disproportionate amount of Jewish ownership and Jewish financing of the American news media? At the risk of being irreverent, and I don't wish to be irreverent to our very fine Roman Catholic listeners this morning, is the Pope a Catholic? William J. Broad's essay then, from the New York Times, A Spy's Path, Iowa to A-Bomb to Kremlin Honor. He says in relation to George Koval that he had an all-American cover. He was born in Iowa, college in Manhattan, army buddies with whom he played baseball. George Koval also had a secret. During World War II, he was a top Soviet spy, codenamed Delmar, and trained by Stalin's ruthless Bureau of Military Intelligence. Atomic spies are old stuff, but historians say Dr. Koval, who died in his 90s last year in Moscow, and whose name is just coming to light publicly, was probably one of the most important spies of the 20th century. On November the 2nd, the Kremlin startled Western scholars by announcing that President Vladimir Putin had posthumously given the highest Russian award to a Soviet agent who penetrated the Manhattan Project to build the atom bomb. The announcement hailed Dr. George Koval as the, quote, only Soviet intelligence officer, unquote, to infiltrate the project's secret plants, saying his work, quote, helped speed up considerably the time it took for the Soviet Union to develop an atomic bomb of its own, unquote. Since then, historians, scientists, federal officials, and old friends have raced to tell Dr. Koval's story. The athlete, the guy everyone liked, the genius of technical studies. American intelligence agencies have known of his betrayal at least since the early 1950s, when investigators interviewed his fellow scientists and swore them to secrecy. The spy's success hinged on an unusual family history of migration from Russia to Iowa and back. That gave him a strong commitment to communism, a relaxed familiarity with American mores, and no foreign accent. Quote, he was very friendly, compassionate, and very smart, unquote, said Arnold Kramish, a retired physicist who studied with Dr. Koval at City College and later worked with him on the bomb project. Quote, he never did homework, unquote. Stuart D. Bloom, a senior physicist at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California, who also studied with Dr. Koval, called him a regular guy. Quote, he played baseball and played it well. He didn't have a Russian accent. He spoke fluent English, American English. His credentials were perfect, unquote. Once Dr. Bloom added, I saw him staring off in the distance and thinking about something else. Now I think I know what it was, unquote. Over the years, says the New York Times, scholars and federal agents have identified a half dozen individuals who spied on the bomb project for the Soviets, especially at Los Alamos in New Mexico. All were walk-ins, quote-unquote, spies by impulse and sympathetic leaning rather than rigorous training. By contrast, Dr. George Koval was a mole groomed in the Soviet Union by the feared GRU, the Military Intelligence Agency. Moreover, he gained wide access to America's atomic plants, a feat unknown for any other Soviet spy. Nuclear experts say the secrets of bomb manufacturing can be more important than those of design. Los Alamos devised the bomb, while its parts and fuel were made at secret plants in such places as Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and Dayton, Ohio, sites Dr. Koval not only penetrated, but also assessed as an Army sergeant with wide responsibilities and authority. He had access to everything, said Dr. Kramish, who worked with Dr. Koval at Oak Ridge and now lives in Reston, Virginia. He had his own Jeep. Very few of us had our own Jeeps. He was clever. He was a trained GRU spy, unquote. That status, he added, made Dr. George Koval unique in the history of atomic espionage, a judgment historians echo. Washington has known about Dr. Koval's spying since he fled the United States shortly after the war, but kept it a secret. Quote, it would have been highly embarrassing for the U.S. government to have had this divulged, said Robert S. Norris, author of Racing for the Bomb, a biography of the project's military leader. Historians say Mr. Putin may have cited Dr. Koval's accomplishments as a way to rekindle Russian pride. As shown by a New York Public Library database search, the announcement has prompted detailed reports in the Russian press about Dr. George Koval and his clandestine feats. Quote, it's very exciting to get this kind of break, said John Earl Haynes, a Library of Congress historian and an authority on atomic spying. Quote, we know very little about GRU operations in the United States, unquote. And here then, folks, comes the most relevant paragraph, I think, in the entire article. George Koval was born in 1913 to Abraham and Ethel Koval in Sioux City, Iowa, which had a large Jewish community and half a dozen synagogues. In 1932, during the Great Depression, his family immigrated to Birobidzhan, the Siberian city that Stalin promoted as a secular Jewish homeland. Henry Serebrick, a Canadian historian at the University of Prince Edward Island who was studying the Kovals for a project on American Jewish communists, said the family belonged to a popular front organization, as did most American Jews who immigrated to Birobidzhan. The organization, he said, was ICOR, a Yiddish acronym for the Association of Jewish Colonization in the Soviet Union. He added that Dr. Koval's father served in its Sioux City branch as secretary. By 1934, Dr. George Koval was in Moscow, excelling in difficult studies at the Mendeleev Institute of Chemical Technology. Upon graduating with honors, he was recruited and trained by the GRU and was sent back to the United States for nearly a decade of scientific espionage from roughly 1940 to 1948. The Yiddish acronym for the Association of Jewish Colonization in the Soviet Union, ICOR. Sounds like the same people that Eric Margolis talks about who want war with Iran. The same people who are silent about the 20 to 40 million murders in the Soviet Union between 1922 and 1941. We'll be back.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll have Dr. Adrian Krieg on in approximately 5 minutes from now. Going to be talking about a series of items with him. I'm going to be making, of course, a little bit of reference maybe with him in the first part of the show about these two S's that we've been covering in the first part of the of this broadcast. Eric Margolis' essay at the Toronto Sun entitled Bear the Guilt, Time to Acknowledge Soviet Genocide. And then, of course, this whole thing from the New York Times, A Spy's Path, Iowa to A-Bomb to Kremlin Honor. What is behind this whole business of this spy case involving Dr. George Koval, K-O-V-A-L, Dr. George Koval? And why are we just now hearing about this American Jews infiltration of the Manhattan Project? Very interesting story, which should not be seen in isolation from a larger linear pattern, which, of course, includes the Pollard spy case, the Kennedy assassination, the USS Liberty tragedy from June the 8th, 1967, as well as Israel's present involvement in trying to get the United States to attack Iran, which would be a catastrophe beyond comprehension for the Iranian people, as well as for the American, as well as for the world. Who's behind this, folks? Draw the connections. Connect the dots. This is our opportunity to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can, of course, do that by giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. It's also an opportunity to ask you to support the American Free Press. I can't begin to tell you what this publication has meant to me. Michael Collins Piper, Mark Glenn, Mark Anderson, Willis Carto, Pat Shannon, Charlie Reese, Paul Craig Roberts. I get all of them week after week in one location, the American Free Press. You can call them at 1-800-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. To get a subscription, to extend your existing subscription, or to be involved in providing a gift from time to time to those very fine folks. By the way, I'm going to be continuing to write from time to time for AFP. That's something that I'll keep you abreast of. But suffice it to say that we now see that James Tucker, at least for now, has taken over as senior editor. Christopher Petherick, as I understand it, has taken up a position with the Mike Gravel presidential candidacy. And so this means that James Tucker will be taking over, at least for now, as senior editor. Support the American Free Press to the extent that you possibly can. I also wanted to say something again about this Foundation to Defend the First Amendment. These fine folks were very, very supportive of all of the people who were most directly involved in the No More Wars for Israel conference. I got a very nice letter from these folks after I returned from Los Angeles. We need to support these individuals to the extent that we can. The Foundation to Defend the First Amendment. You can contact them in Washington, D.C. at 202-547-5585. 202-547-5585. We'll be back with Adrian Krieg. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. With recent